Helen Freeman will come and share the scripture with us.
The scripture this morning is from Matthew 4, verses 1 through 11. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Then the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to them, "All these I give you, if you will fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him.
Thank you, Helen. We begin Lent in the wilderness. The scriptures for Lent always start here. Jesus in the wilderness, the time of temptation. Jesus had been baptized by John in the River Jordan. He had risen up out of the water to the blessing of the Spirit coming upon him and God's voice speaking affirmation. "This is my Son, my beloved, with whom I'm well pleased." But then, immediately, the Spirit led him out into the wilderness. That's the way the spiritual life works, isn't it? We have some spiritual high, some powerful encounter. We go on a retreat, have some intense experience of God's love and blessing, but then, immediately, often immediately, the wilderness times come. You can't stay on the mountaintop. You can't live your life in the glow of spiritual highs. We have to learn how to live in the wilderness, how to walk by faith in hard and rocky places in life, because life certainly has those places. Life has those times. Wilderness is part of being alive. So the Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness for 40 days of seeking, wandering, praying, fasting alone with no one but God. It was a time of discernment, of seeking God's will and guidance, trying to get clear what God was calling him to be and to do. And then when he was really hungry, famished, when all his human resources were worn away, the tempter came. You know, the Old Testament has very little to say about the devil or Satan or the tempter. And the meanings behind the words that do get used are interesting. Devil comes from the root meaning to divide. Satan, the adversary. The tempter, one who causes to fall. Well, we don't need to believe in a personal devil to believe the truth that is in this story. Because we all know, when we're tired, when we're hungry, when we're depleted, when we feel all alone and at the end of our strength, that's when temptations come. Doubt, uncertainty, anger, fear. So the tempter came to Jesus in the wilderness, and each time he began his temptation with that phrase. If you are God's son. Each time he questioned his identity, questioned his sense of purpose, questioned the blessing he had just received, questioned whether God really, really loved him. If you are God's son, then prove it. Prove it to yourself. Prove it to me. Prove it to the world. Use that power you have, the tempter said, and turn these stones into bread. Meet your needs. Meet the needs of others. Do something to help other people in a way that will prove that you are who you say that you are, who you think you are. But Jesus replies, one can't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. He's quoting from Deuteronomy, from the wisdom learned by the Israelites in the wilderness in those 40 years, when they had to trust day by day that food would be provided, that the manna would come. Because every day God sent just enough for the day. You couldn't store up manna. You couldn't save it. You had to trust. They had to trust that tomorrow there would be enough. They learned in the wilderness that God alone could supply their needs, that God would supply their needs, but only one day at a time. So Jesus answered the devil with that word from God. We live by God's grace. We live by trusting God's care. And also that just the material, just the physical, is not enough. Filled stomachs don't make fulfilled people. And for himself, for any of us, when we try to meet our spiritual hunger with material things, when we try to fill the hole in our hearts and souls simply with food or with substances, with things, with activities, it never works. Well, we certainly live in a culture that knows about this temptation, don't we? Don't we? A million different manifestations of the same temptation. Everywhere, all the time, we are tempted to try to satisfy our soul with the things of the world. But we cannot live by bread alone. And even bread, real, physical bread, like we're going to taste in a minute, when it's made as it's meant to be, is so much more than just bread. A writer, commentator named Melissa Bain Sevier, suggests that the temptation to turn stones into bread is a shortcut, a quick and easy way to try to bypass the hard, slow work required to find true fulfillment. And goodness knows we live in an age of quick fixes, of instant gratification, of the media going nuts if they don't know the poll results, the primary vote, right when the poll closes. Even with physical bread, Sevier writes, even that kind of bread comes from a long, slow, communal process. Farmers planting and growing grain, needing the rain and sun and soil for the plants to grow, and then in the fullness of the season, the harvest comes, and the millers grind the grain into flour, and then there are bakers adding yeast and salt and oil and maybe a little sugar, mixing and kneading the dough and letting the yeast and flour do its work to create something new as it rises, and then the heat of the oven to bake the bread, and finally, the family, the community, gathers to break bread together. All of that participation, all of that interaction, all of that work, and all of that grace is needed just for the bread that feeds our physical hungers. How much more is our spiritual food a long, slow process, a work of participation and interaction, of communion with others and with God. Our spiritual food is found as we make our way through the wilderness of our lives, day by day, moment by moment. There are no quick fixes, no shortcuts to living truly, living abundantly. We cannot feed our hungry hearts by our own power, our own strength, our own self-sufficiency. We cannot live on bread alone, and we starve ourselves on bread made from stones. The tempter wasn't finished, of course. There's a temptation to test God's love, to force God's hand. Throw yourself from the top of the temple. Show the whole world. Do a religious trick. The tempter was good at twisting scripture. You can say almost anything. You can proof text almost anything from the Bible when you take it out of context. Don't test the Lord your God. And then the temptation to worship the powers of this world, to sell our souls for power and prestige and influence. Bow down to me and I will give you everything. The temptation to believe the end justifies the means, to believe that earthly status and influence are ultimate. But of course they are not. Kingdoms rise and fall, nations come and go, powers are here today and gone tomorrow. People, no matter how important they may seem, live and then they die. God alone is everlasting. Commentator Peter Woods writes that really, in his sense, it's all one temptation. These three examples are just giving us a flavor of the different ways it can look. But the temptation at its heart, for Jesus, for us, the temptation is that can he, Jesus, filled with power, filled with the blessing, submit his ego to the will of God for his life? He needed the wilderness to teach him the way he had to walk, the way of emptying himself, the way of self-giving love. And Lent calls us again to the same struggle. The Spirit leads us also into wilderness times to learn the way we have to walk, to give our egos to the will of God for our lives. We pray it again and again, and yet we need to learn to pray, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thy will be done in us as it is in Christ." To learn to say with Jesus as he did in the garden, "Not my will, but thy will." That's about the journey of letting go of the ego, releasing the small self, finding our way to the larger, more expansive self, the true self God calls us to be. It's a journey of faith. And so on this first Sunday of Lent, we come to the table of Christ, because this is where we can find the food we need, true bread, the bread that feeds us body and soul, God bread, not stone bread, real bread, the bread of communion with God and with each other, food for the journey. The wilderness waits, but so do the angels. The wilderness is always part of our lives, but so is the power of Christ, the one who walks before us, the one who gave his life to show us the way of love. We're called to come to the table and receive the bread, the cup, the food we need. Let's receive with joy.